This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. And always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me. And to take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. Plenty to get to. Appreciate you all tapping in with me. If you're on your way to Cap One Arena, shout out to you. Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs in town as the Wizards back on the hardwood looking to continue their stellar play. And I say that with parentheses around it. I say that with an asterisk next to it. The young Wizards playing good ball right now. The effort is there. Post-trade deadline, Bump Carrington, a career-high 23 points Saturday night against Atlanta. We'll touch on the young Wizards before we get out of here. The Washington Capitals, they were in action yesterday against the Utah Hockey Club. And if you joined us before face-off yesterday, as we kind of gave you a little preview right here on The Fan, if you joined us before face-off, it looked like, and if you got to watch that game last night, it looked like a group that was playing a Sunday matinee right before 2 weeks off. But per usual, this Capitals team finding a way to rally. Dylan Strome, Tom Wilson in the third period, tying it up at 4 apiece before, obviously, Utah coming away with the win in a shootout. But it kind of speaks to what I've continued to say about this Caps team. It may not always be sexy. It may not always be pretty, but they fight like hell. Yesterday, another example of that. They were down 4-2 in the second period. They obviously rally in the third to force shootout, but they come up on the short end of the stick. 2 weeks off for the Caps. They are back in action February 22nd on the road against the Pittsburgh Penguins. So the chase of Wayne Gretzky's goal-scoring record put on pause for the next couple of weeks. For the great eight, Alex Ovechkin. He didn't light the lamp last night, but 3 assists for OV as he was, kind of just there yesterday. Caps 5-4 losers at the hands of Utah. It is a big night tonight in the association. I mentioned the Wizards going to be in action at home against the Spurs. It's actually French Heritage Night. Oui. Alex Saar, Bilal Coulibaly are going to be on a bobblehead for the first 10,000 folks in attendance tonight. So, make sure you pick one up for your boys. I'm here holding it down in studio for you on Overtime, keeping things in the NBA. We will get hot and heavy into the association. Coming up 9 o'clock hour, our pal Law Murray, who covers the NBA for The Athletic, will join us. Luka Doncic set to make his L.A. Lakers debut tonight in primetime on ESPN against the Utah Jazz. And I know that I picked you up just to let you down there. He was supposed to debut Saturday, but ESPN and the Lakers kind of botched this one. Not only did Luka not make his debut, you didn't get LeBron James in action either. So we finally get to see the dynamic duo of LeBron and Luka in action tonight as they take on the Utah Jazz. Keeping things local on the hoops front. AP men's top 25 poll coming out earlier today. And I was crossing my fingers because after the Terps wet the bed last week against Ohio State, I thought there's no way that they would maintain a stranglehold on their top 25 ranking. They came out 18th last week, first time all season that they had been ranked. They lost to Ohio State this past Thursday on the road. And then they righted their wrongs yesterday in one of the more exciting college basketball games you'll get to see when you just talk about young, star-studded freshman talent on full display. Ace Bailey of Rutgers, Dylan Harper of Rutgers, and then Derek Queen of the Maryland Terrapins getting jiggy with it in historic fashion. Monstrous performance last night in College Park. Plenty of NBA scouts in attendance. 29 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists in Maryland's win over Rutgers. History-making performance, as I mentioned. DQ's performance last night makes him the first Big Ten player with at least 25 points, 15 rebounds, and 5 helpers in a game since Michigan's Manny Harris back in December of 2008. Also, DQ, the first Division I freshman with that type of game in the past 20 years, needed that performance after he missed 6 or 7 free throws the other night against Ohio State. Some may say if DQ made his free throws the other night, we wouldn't be talking about Maryland having to break a losing streak. They're playing good basketball here as we get geared up for March Madness and the conference tournament. So keep it locked right here on the Fan on the Team 980 to get your latest on the Maryland Terrapins. Obviously, this past week, Super Bowl week out in New Orleans, and if you got the chance to join me yesterday, and if you got the chance to hear me on Friday night at all, I look at this past week as really an eye toward the future. Super Bowl week in New Orleans, and excuse me for making it all about Washington, Super Bowl week in New Orleans felt like it was all about Jaden Daniels, a young man that is setting up to be the future face of the National Football League. He was the gotta-have interview of the week from the Pat McAfee show to the Rich Eisen show, all over ESPN, all over Fox Sports 1, all over NBC. You couldn't turn your TV on out at Media Row during Super Bowl week without seeing the big bust-down chain of Jaden Daniels. And you know what I love about it? And people get annoyed at this. What I love about Jaden Daniels the most, I think some folks get rubbed the wrong way by it. They just won't say it publicly. His mother by his side the entire time. His mother by his side the entire time. He was raised the right way. He's got the right temperament to be in the spotlight the way that he is. And I continue to feel like after watching this week, if you joined us yesterday, I said whoever won Super Bowl 59 between the Eagles and the Chiefs, whoever came out victorious, I thought, for sure, you can bet your bottom dollar on it. Whoever won, Washington was going to travel to play them in the season opener on Thursday on NBC for the ring ceremony. Looks like we're going to get Eagles and Commanders in week one if my prognostication is worth a damn. I feel like it is. Maybe I'm wrong with my whole feeling of pushing Washington. The one thing, I think someone called and said this yesterday, Vic, or maybe it was you that brought it up. They like to save those division games for later in the year, so maybe you wouldn't get it right off the rip. But, man, would you not be juiced up for Eagles Commanders from Lincoln Financial to start the season?
Absolutely. Now,
the last team that beat Philadelphia.
The Commanders are a strong choice, but there's also another one.
Who's that?
And that's the Detroit Lions. I think a lot of fans, you know, nationally was looking forward to potentially a Lions-Eagles NFC mm-hmm. championship. They didn't get it. So what that's do you true. Do now? You could put this on NBC on Thursday Night Football. You get to see what Lions and Eagles would look like.
That's interesting. Now, Detroit's another team. And I don't know, Vic, tell me if I'm wrong with this. I felt like them losing Aaron Glenn to the New York Jets, obviously, them losing Ben Johnson in their own division, I might add, to the Chicago Bears, it feels like the beginning of the end for Detroit. And I understand this is not the year technically from a financial standpoint where things get wacky. Next year, I think Jared Goff accounts for $60 million against the Detroit Lions cap. I don't think you can win with your roster constructed that way. So next year, maybe go hard or go home time for Dan Campbell's bunch. If they were in the opener, I guess I'd be okay with it. It's a good game.
Well, you're going to assume that the Lions defense will be healthy.
Right.
To see yes. how they would have matched up against Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley.
Devontae Smith. Yeah,
I would love to see what the Lions' healthy defense would do to that kind of offense.
Yeah. It was interesting because all year long, I have felt like Philadelphia was the most talented roster in the National Football League. Obviously, we saw that on full display last night. We'll get into a full X's and O breakdown of the Super Bowl coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. But not even close in terms of the way Philadelphia dominated in the trenches against Kansas City, unlike anything I've ever seen. But getting back to it, it's so difficult for me to consume the NFL without bringing it back locally. It's so difficult for me to watch without bringing it back to the Commanders. And as I'm watching last night, 55-23 doesn't feel so bad, does it? After watching the way they whipped Kansas City's ass, if you're Washington, first of all, this is all a part of my coy and my plot to try to get Washington in the ring ceremony game. Washington was the last team to beat Philadelphia. I think it was, week 16 at home where Jalen Hurts goes out, obviously. Commanders the last team to give an L to Philadelphia. And looking at the way Jayden Daniels and company were able to matriculate the football down the field, it's a special group we got here in D.C. And I know no one wants to talk about it. Oh, you were 60 minutes away. And, oh, you were so close, but no cigar. Look, you were right on the doorstep of punching your ticket to the big dance. Right on the doorstep. But it didn't happen. You were right on the doorstep, but it didn't happen. After watching last night, the conversation for me shifts to, how does Washington get there? How do the Commanders get over the hump? How does Washington ensure that next year they're the ones in the big dance? And obviously we'll go through it as the offseason rolls along here, talking about the biggest needs that Washington has to address. We'll start doing that here coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. But, man, close but no cigar. Last night should make you feel a hell of a lot more confident about what Washington has to offer moving forward. Last night should make you feel like, hey, you know, despite what the general public may think, despite what some of these hating-ass Eagle fans may think, Washington is a lot closer to returning to the NFC Championship and getting over the hump than not being back in the conversation. Because all I continue to hear, right, and rightfully so, I'm not condemning or shutting anyone down that brings this point, you know, to the surface. It's hard to get back there. It's hard as hell to get back there. And I think as a football fan, we all should understand that 25-plus years, 30-plus years of not being there, it's going to take some retooling. It's going to take some hard work to ultimately get back to that spot. But I think Washington's got the right people in charge to make sure that that happens. 1-800-636-1067, the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. CBS analyst on the NFL, Emory Hunt, going to join us coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll get his thoughts on the Super Bowl. We'll get into the X's and O's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, but I got something to get off my chest there. And I debated back and forth as to whether or not I was going to let loose on this, but who else is better served to speak on the halftime show last night than the youngest in charge? Who else is better to try and contextualize what the hell happened at halftime last night than the youngest in charge and L. Willingham? And I'm going to say this for those that are old, for those that are young, white, black, purple, yellow, Kendrick Lamar stunk last night. I mean, let's call it what it is. Kendrick Lamar was hot garbage last night. We got a rapper doing the halftime show for the first time since 50 Cent. And I love me some 50 Cent, right? He was in shape. He had the muscles going. But guess what? Guess what was the difference about 50 Cent's halftime show and Kendrick Lamar's halftime show? The production value out of this world. You could hear 50 Cent. What the hell? Kendrick Lamar, and I told myself that I wasn't going to go here, but I have to. Apple Music, Roger Goodell, the National Football League, stop ass kissing. Stop trying to go for the hottest commodity in the world. Because let's just be real about it. The audience that you're actually trying to target can give a rat's ass about Kendrick Lamar. I don't remember the last time I said, hey, bruh, turn that Kendrick back on. This is not something we do. I'm so tired of hearing, they not like us. They're not like us. They're not like us. They're not us. Had to listen to the Democrats praise it all throughout their campaign. Had to listen to it last night on the world's biggest stage. This is my thing. You're in the state of Louisiana, home of what many people in my age demographic feel is the greatest rapper of all time, in Lil Wayne. And the NFL, not only did they not go with Lil Wayne or the host of rappers from Louisiana, they went with Kendrick. And he didn't even have the respect to bring the legend out. He brought out Serena Williams. Serena Williams? First of all, Serena Williams, do better. You're a married woman. Get over Drake. He didn't want you. So now you got to go join the halftime show to join the most popular party in America, dunking on Drake. Guess what? No matter what Kendrick Lamar puts out, no matter what Kendrick Lamar puts on paper, he'll never be better than Drake. And argue with somebody you love, not me. Serena Williams. What type of message are we supposed to be sending to our youth? Huh? Never get over your ex? Be on their line forever? You want to talk about petty? Then I got to listen to people talk about, oh, there was so much messaging within the show, and now you're missing it. Yeah, there was messaging within the show. Good job. They've had a year to put this damn show on. And that's the best they could do? They had an entire year to put this show together, and that's the best they could do? Mumble rap Kendrick Lamar? And that's the thing. Let me chill on the mumble rap thing, because I get offended when older people talk about mumble rap. That wasn't even mumble rap last night. That was somebody that's out of shape and didn't rehearse enough. He was sucking wind by the time he got midway through the second song. It was god-awful. Couldn't hear a damn word he said. I got people online, people crying, literally in tears. And Kendrick, you changed my life. The hell out of here. A weak-ass song. It was incredible. It was incredible to see people fawn over it the way that they did. And see, the real, only the real tap into conversations like this. My high school football coach, Ray Fowle, over at Colonel Zadik Magruder. Happy belated birthday, by the way, Coach Fowle. I didn't even get to reach out and send you a text. I got the notification through Facebook. But this is what it is, man. We were in Louisiana, the great state of Louisiana. And they didn't even have the respect to bring out the GOAT. I thought it was crazy, man. I'm not going to hate on Kendrick as a black man because I respect the messaging. I respect everything he tried to put forth. But the fact that his run is based off of a diss song filled with lies and propaganda about another man, I can't get with it. We can't keep tearing each other down. He chose to go on the biggest stage in the world and perform a diss song. That's like Ice Cube back in the day performing No Vaseline at the Super Bowl. Could you imagine the reaction people would have if Ice Cube got up there and rapped No Vaseline at the Super Bowl? Come on, people. Tighten up. 1-800-636-1067, the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. I'm going to say it right now. Last night was one of the worst Super Bowls in the history of the National Football League. From the product on the field to the halftime show, the commercials. I'm supposed to be walking in here on Monday night with a laundry list full of commercials that I want to talk about. I have none. I mean, unimpressive. The beer commercials were good and the best as always, but the Super Bowl needs to tighten up. Shout out to the Philadelphia Eagles. They were dominant, but damn, we'll talk about a waste of a holiday. Some of y'all want the day off after the Super Bowl. For what? Why would you stay up and watch last night? It's a travesty to America, man. Top of the 7 o'clock hour coming up in our nation's capital. We'll get into an X's and O's breakdown of Super Bowl 59 because the Eagles showed why it is about the trenches in the National Football League. If you don't got it up front along your offensive line, if you don't got it up front along your defensive line, you cannot compete. My X's and O's breakdown. Super Bowl 59 comes your way next. Just getting rocking and rolling here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. A lot more to get to as we continue to break down Super Bowl 59. If you're just now joining us, my favorite part of the opening segment probably happened at the very end. Any of you out there that feel as if you know more about music than me? I mean, I don't go by the Youngest in Charge for no reason, man. I'm 27, alive, kicking, all my organs are functioning properly. I know about music, or the people down south say music. I know about music. Kendrick Lamar was hot buns last night. You couldn't understand what he was saying. And the first thing that I went to was, well, maybe it was all the movement. Because you got to think, when you had a rap concert, man, like, I don't know. When it comes to me in a rap concert, like, I expect to be able to hear what you're saying. For real, this is how it should be. You should get to a point where Kendrick stops because everybody's singing the song. That never happened last night because no one knows his music because he's irrelevant and not a good rapper. That is just is what it is. That's the way a rap concert is supposed to go. You couldn't tell me if Lil Wayne was up there performing a milli that he would have to sing every word. No, people would eventually take over and you would hear 80,000 strong in the Superdome singing the song. Kendrick Lamar, you had to, what was he saying? It's like I almost had to squint to hear. Absolutely amazing to think about what last night was. And I think it was a missed opportunity for hip-hop, man. There hasn't been a lot of hip-hop halftime shows, and that's the reason. That is the reason. People look at the genre, and they disrespect it, and they look at it, what the old people call it now, mumble rap. They look at the genre, and they disrespect it because of performances like Kendrick. Now, and I promise this is my last time talking about it because it just wasn't worth my time. It's not worth my time. He is known in the rap world as a lyricist. If you're going to be a lyricist, choose some songs to perform that everyone knows the lyrics. And they can rap along with you, and you can remix it and do your own thing. At a certain point, now mind you, I was 2, 3, 4 shots in by that time, so maybe I wasn't hearing him the way I was supposed to. But I know for, without a shadow of a doubt, like, it wasn't very good. And my main takeaway was, what is he saying? The symbolism within it, tremendous. Give him all the kudos in the world for that. But to bring your rap battle to the Super Bowl? You know how tone deaf that is? To bring your rap battle to the Super Bowl? It's not like you're bringing your rap battle to the BET Awards. It's not like you're bringing your rap battle to the Grammys. You do it. Half these people don't know who Drake is. And I had to listen to 70,000 in unison chant A minor. It was the worst thing ever. I hope Drake sued the bell bottoms off Kendrick Lamar. Them fat ass jeans he was wearing. Let me get over this. 1-800-636-1067. The number on the MGM at National Harbor Listener Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. I want to get into the X's and O's of this thing because, like I said, and I'm not trying to, what y'all like to call me, a shock jock. I'm not trying to speak in hyperbole. It was the worst Super Bowl I can remember. Now, when Peyton and the Broncos got their ass whipped by Denver, or excuse me, by Seattle, back in New York, what was that, like 2016, 2017? That was god-awful. But at least the commercials were memorable.
Do you remember the other boring Super Bowl was 6 years ago? We had the Rams-Patriots. Now, it was a close game. It was boring.
Snooze fest.
But at least it was close. It was like 13-3 Patriots.
Exactly. And it was a good defensive battle. This was just, let me tell you what last night was for the Philadelphia Eagles. Last night was the Eagles coming in your house, telling your kids when to go to sleep, drinking your liquor, smacking your wife on the ass. It was the most dominating performance I can remember in recent memory. And it showed you, this is my number one takeaway. And if you're a Commander fan watching this last night, you got to feel the same way. It's all about the trenches. How are you going to act up front? Can you put together an offensive line and a defensive line that can go blow for blow for 60 minutes with that group. I mean, that is, woo-wee. I don't know, man. It was tough to watch. It was tough to watch because I look at Philadelphia, and I've long said all year long, I think they are the best, most talented team in the National Football League. If you listen to me throughout the year doing Nell's Super Six Pack, who was my number one and my number two all year long? Kansas City, Philadelphia. I had these two teams meeting in the bowl. I thought Kansas City would figure it out because it's Pat Mahomes. But if you're Pat, it's hard to it's hard to figure it out when you're under duress the way that Patrick Mahomes was. I have never, I'm willing to go out and say it, it was the worst performance I've ever seen from Patrick Mahomes. It was the worst performance I've ever seen from Patrick Mahomes. And to take it a step further, it's probably the most lopsided football game I've ever seen. Just knowing how bad they got whipped up front. It was, I mean, terrible. Terrible. This is a couple of numbers here that kind of show you just how bad things were. This is the box score snapshot. And pay close attention here. This is the box score snapshot when Kansas City received the football for the 10th time in the game. Can I repeat that so y'all understand where I'm coming from here? This is the box score for the Chiefs offense when they got the ball for the 10th time. This is what the box score was. 2:40 left to go in the third quarter. 2:40 left in the third quarter. It was 34-0 Philadelphia. The Eagles had 299 yards. The Chiefs had 65. The Eagles had 18 first downs. The Chiefs had just three. So if that doesn't show you how much of an ass-whipping it was last night, then I don't know what to tell you. Shout out to the Eagles. I mean, it was a dominating performance by that group. They are as legit as they come. But holy cow, if you're Pat Mahomes and company, are you not reevaluating things? Kansas City failed to convert each of his first eight third downs. They were 0 for 8 to start on third down, and the average yards to convert was 10.1. You know what we call that? Belt to ass. That just is what it is. They got whipped up front. And I give credit to old Vic Fangio, man. I know maybe I'm late in doing it, but we saw this all year long, man. The Eagles are simplistic in what they are going to do defensively. They're going to run their match zone, and they're going to run like hell to the football. They're going to punch at the football. They're going to be aggressive. And you saw it last night, man. It was the second lowest QBR of Patrick Mahomes' career. Last night was the second lowest QBR of Patrick Mahomes' career. And you see why the score ended up being the way that it was, man. And here's the thing. I see a lot of people tweeting, see, man, you see Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter. That's what I thought John Allen and Deron Payne were going to be. See, this is why we got to be slow to speak sometimes. This is why we got to be slow to speak sometimes. A good interior rush is only as good as the edge rushers. You get what I'm saying? Washington has never had it all at one time. You can push the pocket all you want, but if no one's forcing the quarterback to step up from their edge pressure, your four-man rush is null and void. What we saw last night was Josh Sweat dominating at the edge rusher spot, Nolan Smith dominating at the edge rusher spot, and then it was Milton Williams and Jalen Carter. Jordan Davis, I got to go look at the snap count from last night to see how many snaps Jordan Davis got, but it felt like it was a lot of Milton Williams, and they were running games and twists and stunts up front, and that Kansas City offensive line had no clue what hit them. None. And it's amazing to see an offensive guru, a mastermind, a first ballot Hall of Famer in Andy Reid get out-coached the way that he did. Because for as dominant, right, as dominant as Kansas City, or excuse me, as Philadelphia was up front, where were the adjustments from Kansas City? Where were the adjustments to get the football out of Patrick Mahomes' hands quickly? And I think, man, you can just chalk it up to this. I know we had this discussion yesterday on The Fan about how his legacy would be impacted after yesterday's game. You saw it from the opening drive of the football game. He was not on. They had Travis Kelce over the middle on one of those little zone sit routes where you find the soft spot and the ball was behind him. That would have been your first down. That kickstarts your drive. You were 0 for 8 on third down, man. And your first one was a pitch and catch gimme. So for whatever reason, they were just as dysfunctional of a group offensively as I can remember, man. And pressure bust pipes. They say it all the time. Pressure bust pipes. You get a dominant front four that can game wreck the way Philadelphia's does and plays in unison. Here's the other thing about that group. It's not a group filled with household names. Josh Sweat was the leading sack getter this year for Philadelphia with 8.5 sacks. That's it, 8.5. Milton Williams, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Nolan Smith, Bryce Huff before he was made inactive, Brandon Graham. Those guys don't care about who gets the sack. I brought up my old high school football coach earlier, Ray Fowle, man. Ray Fowle also said one thing, talking to me personally playing defensive line in high school. The play doesn't care who makes it. The play could care less who makes it. It's about everybody rushing in unison, maintaining gap integrity, and bringing the damn quarterback to the ground. That's it. That's it. There's one singular goal playing defense, man, especially when you're rushing the passer. Bring his ass down. And it feels like here in Washington and in other places as well, that's why D-line is such a hard position to coach. Everybody wants to be the hero. Everybody wants to hear their name called on the PA announcer. Linnell Willingham on the sack. It's my favorite thing. I love that more than getting busy. That's the best thing you can hear. It's nothing that strokes the ego more than having your name get called out after you make a play. That's why guys don't rush with discipline. And that's why you saw the Eagles last night say, hold on, man. We've rushed with discipline all year long. Outside of their last loss, I might add, to Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. But we've rushed with discipline for a majority of the season. Why stop now? We're 60 minutes away from accomplishing a lifelong goal. Why stop now? And I think you saw it, man. Credit to the Chiefs' defense for keeping Saquon Barkley in check. I thought the Eagles' offensive line was damn good in pass pro. It's for Kansas City, too. They sold out to stop the run. It's hard to then turn on the switch and then rush the passer after you're committing to selling out to stopping the run. So you notice whenever Jalen Hurts dropped back, he could bake a cake, he could paint his nails, he can get his chain diamond tested. No matter what, he had time. That's because they sold out to stop the run. And Jalen Hurts made some big throws when he needed to, man. I get on him all the time by calling him a $200 million running back. He made some big throws yesterday. He did. But it doesn't change the fact, and his legs were a huge factor. That was the other thing. Him as a scrambler, him as a runner yesterday, backbreaking. Even when Kansas City did everything right from a coverage standpoint, he gets out the back door. And the thing that I love, and I think it was getting highlighted last night by Tom Brady, who was a mixed bag performance by him. I didn't get the chance to hear him a ton this year because they didn't give us the number one broadcast. He's still bad. Wasn't as bad as I thought he was, but he's bad. He pointed out, though, that pre-snap, Jalen Hurts consistently getting Philadelphia into the correct play. That's a skill. May not be as sexy as dropping the 50-yard dime, but that's also a skill. He did that when he was needed, and his legs were a big factor. I can say all that about Hurts. Still, to me, he is the most insulated quarterback in the National Football League. Last night, what that was about reminding America who the best executive in professional sports is, and that's Howie Roseman. Because that roster, 1 through 53, I put him up against anybody. I put him up against anybody. They got it going on. From the pass rushers to the offensive line to the skill group to the special teams, you name it. And oh, by the way, Jalen Hurts accounts just $24 million against the cap for Philly. He's on like a rookie plus deal. That's what I call it. 1-800-636-1067. Your thoughts on the Super Bowl? How does Washington fare into last night's game? What do you watch last night and go, the Commanders need to improve there? Also, If you joined me yesterday, I said if Patrick Mahomes won his third consecutive Super Bowl, I call him the greatest quarterback of all time. When we come back, I'll tell you why, despite him having his second lowest QBR in the history of Patrick Mahomes to this point, he still belongs in the GOAT conversation. That's next there on The Fan. 1-800-636-1067, the number on the MGM National Harbor Listing Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. I'm laughing because I was getting ready to give you all a score update. Wizards playing host to the San Antonio Spurs out of Capital One Arena. 6:50 and change left to go in the opening quarter. Spurs up 18-10. Victor Wembanyama just hit 2 30-foot threes back-to-back. And I mean that with no exaggeration. He is a unicorn. Every time, and look, I got a job to do. I love, he just hit three straight, ridiculously deep threes. Vic, are you peeping this in here? He is going insane. I know you just walked back in. It was just, 13-10. Victor Wembanyama has just gone crazy.
And the crowd looks good at Capital One.
Well, people are coming out to see Victor. And I ain't talking about Slick Vic Ferrer. Huh. But no, man, he continues to amaze me, man. He is going to end up being the best player in the NBA. It's only a matter of time. But three straight possessions, three straight deep threes for Victor. He's 2-3 feet behind the line, Vic.
I mean, that's like Peja Stojakovic right there.
I mean,
I'm dating myself when I say that.
Well, Peja was a bucket, man. I know about Peja. But, man, 23-10 Spurs lead, 5:50 left to go in the opening quarter. Wizards actually, as I mentioned, playing a lot better post-trade deadline. Feels like the synergy of that group, minus Kyle Kuzma, is starting to get there. They're playing a really good team tonight in San Antonio that was active themselves before the deadline. Bilal Coulibaly just got a bucket put on him by Victor Wembanyama. He scored the last 11 points.
I think he might put up 50.
Yeah, he's tonight's 50. They're on a 17-0 run right now, Vic. 17-0 run. He's got the last 11 for San Antonio.
Does he put up 50 tonight?
I mean, he looks like he's on pace for it, man. And they're trying to face guard him and do whatever they can.
Didn't James Harden put up like 25 in like the first quarter when the Rockets were in town a month or
never forget that. That was like a couple of years. I was in college when that happened.
Oh, it was the Clippers, sorry.
No. Oh, are you talking about the Clippers? Man, I'll never forget. This is a random story. James Harden, when he was on the Rockets and they were the one seed in the West, they came here and put up 42 points in a quarter against Washington. He had like 36 of the 42 in the quarter. It was insane to watch.
That's insane.
1-800-636-1067. We'll keep you updated on Spurs and Wizards as the night rolls on here. Victor Wembanyama, though, going Kanye crazy. Speaking of going Kanye crazy, the Eagles last night, dominating performance up front along the offensive line, along the defensive line. The one thing I would continue to say to Patrick Mahomes' credit, I didn't think that Andy Reid and the Chiefs did a good enough job providing answers for Pat Mahomes. And obviously the numbers last night for Mahomes, not very good. Second worst QBR of his career. And I said it before the game, if he was to win, I'd call him the greatest quarterback of all time, being the first to win three consecutive Super Bowls. Last night, sacked six times, 21-32, 257, three touchdowns, two picks. Does he belong in the GOAT conversation still after last night's poor performance? 1-800-636-1067. I want to let the listeners tap in on this before I chime in on it. Let's go to Tyrone in D.C. What's up, Ty? Tyrone.
What's going on, Willingham?
What's going on, brother?
How you feeling, Willingham?
I'm good, man.
Not much. How you doing? Excellent. Does he belong in the GOAT conversation? Currently, right now, I think we could put that to rest for at least, probably like another 5-6 years.
Five, 6 years, Tyrone? Golly.
Let me explain. The reason I say that is because Tom Brady has 7 Super Bowls. 7. So he's already lost 2. He has 3. If he wins 2 more without losing, we can bring the conversation back up.
For
but
sure.
Even if he wins 1 in 8, if he wins 1 more in 8 years, we still can't bring that conversation back up. 7 Super Bowls? 7?
Seven is seven, Tyrone. Nah, I mean, I get you. Seven is seven, and I hear y'all when y'all say that. But he's never not been to the conference championship game, Tyrone. That's all he knows is conference chip.
Well, Tom Brady had a run pretty similar to that. So if we're comparing GOATs, you can't. I'm not going to say you can't use that for him, but that's still in the, you can still use that for the argument for the GOAT as well. So I would think he'd have to do something exceeding that.
Yeah.
If we're talking about going, because that's nothing to try at. Seven straight conference championships, you winning to that degree that much, like you said, could become
for
bored
sure.
of you. This guy is excellent, and he's great, and he's still the best quarterback in football right
so
now.
So I'll say this, right?
As far as the GOAT.
Can I just to cut you off real quick, Tyrone? Patrick Mahomes will be the reason a lot of some of the all-time greats don't get to make it to the Super Bowl. Think about the level of competition that Pat has to go against. Tom Brady's biggest, most fierce rival was Peyton Manning. Pat's got Josh Allen. He's got Lamar. He's got Burrow. All of these guys are nipping at his heels to try and take him off the mountaintop, man. So I look at it and go, I don't know, man. It's an interesting conversation for sure.
That's a serious debate right there because Tom Brady had no south. He had Big Ben. I'm a Steelers fan. We got two bowls in his air.
I understand you so much better now knowing that you're a Steelers fan. God bless you. Seriously. The Kings are mediocre.
That's very true. But I'm also a Penguins fan, and in 2008, both my teams won the championship. So I really can't complain about anything. I really can't.
I hear you. Appreciate the call as always, Tyrone. 1-800-636-1067. We'll take a quick timeout. This last night's performance from Patrick Mahomes changed your perception of number 15, and do you feel better about Washington after watching the Super Bowl? Your call's next. 1-800-636-1067, the number on the MGM at National Harbor Listener Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. It's a Monday night edition of Overtime as we get your week started off right. Wizards basketball out of Cap One Arena. 1:58 left to go in the opening quarter. It is all San Antonio. 37-23. Victor Wembanyama, what I like to say, in his bag on the offensive end of the floor. He's 4-4 from downtown. 14 points, 5 rebounds, a steal, and a block. So Wemby filling it up here in the opening quarter. He had 50. When he came to Capital One Arena earlier this year in the month of November. So let's just say Wemby likes playing in D.C. Who knows? D.C. may end up the permanent home of Victor Wembanyama. Let's get back out to the phones, though. 1-800-636-1067. Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs dominated last night by the Philadelphia Eagles. It was the worst game I've ever seen Pat Mahomes play. Statistically, the second worst QBR of his career. After watching last night, does it change your perception of Patrick Mahomes? And then after seeing these two teams, do you feel better about the Washington Commanders and the way that their season ended? Obviously, coming up short in the NFC Championship. 1-800-636-1067. Pat is in Woodbridge. What's going on, Pat? Pat, you there, buddy? We'll throw Pat back on hold. I know Pat is probably just the waiting. Let's try Pat again. Pat, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I had you on mute, man.
What's going on, Pat? How you doing, brother, man?
Good. How you doing, man? I think you got to have Patty Mahomes in the conversation. You can't call him the GOAT yet. You got to have him in the combo, though.
Yeah, for sure.
But I wanted to say something kind of off topic real quick, man. I'm a big fan of radio because these podcasts, man, they get kind of old. And let me give you a compliment real quick, man. Mm-hmm. I was a big fan of Chatty Dukes, man. I love that dude. He's entertaining. But he got caught up in that woke era, man. They asked my man. But I want to tell you, man, that you're one of the most entertaining people on the radio that I don't even know your name, to be honest with you. I've heard you a few times. Don't even know your name. You are one of the most educated when it comes to talking about sports and just in general, man. Funny dude, man. You're going places, man. I can listen to you all day, man.
Hey, I appreciate it. Can I give you an introduction? You're tapped into
Absolutely.
The youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, my brother. 27 and the hottest thing jumping out the pot.
Hey, 27, man. That's more impressive, man. Well, listen, much love to you, brother. They need to bump you up a few time slots because you're very entertaining.
Well, I appreciate
man.
You,
most
man.
Entertaining. That I heard of on the radio thus far, man. But
what you got for us, man?
Anybody else, of course. But I told who's your partner in there, Vic?
I got Vic, yes, sir.
Well, I told Vic that I think what the Skins need to focus on is the offensive line, just because of what the Eagles just did to the Chiefs.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think I might switch it up a little bit. Absolutely, they need to focus on the O line. But I think Jayden Daniels, he can make up for a little bit of the discrepancies that might be there on the O line, just because he scrambles a lot. But I truly believe that they just put on a clinic against one of the greatest quarterbacks, at the very least, to ever play the game. And they showed us how to do it. They gave us the playbook. The playbook is you got to win in those trenches on the defensive line. And I told Vic, and I'm serious about this. I want to know how you feel about this, man. Mm-hmm. If they allow Myles Garrett to go to Philly, I swear to God, I'm gonna take a step back on how I feel about this front office, man.
I'm going to be real with you. Myles Garrett go to Philly, man. You might as well shit me up 95. You might as well package me up, box me up, put me up 95. Put me in Kelly Green. I said it when the news first came out, Pat. I said that would be the one thing that – I made a declarative statement. I said if they get Myles Garrett, Jayden Daniels will never make it to the Super Bowl. He would have to retire. Could you imagine what he does to that team, Pat? Good Lord.
Well, listen, I don't think I'm overstating when I say if they do sign Myles Garrett, you might as well – they just go ahead and sit out the whole season. Philly, don't even play a game, Philly. You're going to the Super Bowl, hands down. Nothing else to it, man. But I hope that's not the case. I hope they don't allow that to happen.
For
but
sure.
We need to get our defensive line squared away, because I think with the cornerbacks that we have, we can make it do what it does if we have people that are actually putting pressure on that quarterback. But much love to you, man.
Hey, man.
You are a talented young man. I didn't know you were 27 years old. And I hope the people that run this radio station are listening to me when I tell you, bump this man up a few slots,
because I appreciate you,
he is
Pat.
The most entertaining person on radio right now.
Pat, you call pretty frequent, and to not know my name is crazy, Pat. I've heard from you a couple of times, I thought, man.
No, this is the first time I called. My name is actually Matt. Matt
okay.
with an M.
Matt. Okay, M-A-T-T. I got you. Hey, man, I appreciate you as always, brother. 1-800-636-1067, the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. I think Matt hit it kind of on the head. Washington's singular primary focus to me now has to be about upgrading the offensive line and the defensive line. And Matt actually brought up something. You see Tristan Vukovic, by the way, Vic? He's going right at Victor Wembanyama. He ain't scared. But the one thing I would say about Washington and what they need to do this offseason. I keep hearing this notion of, Jayden Daniels makes up for this, Jayden Daniels makes up for that. That's all fine and dandy, but it doesn't mean you shortchange yourself as an organization, as a front office, by thinking that he is going to scapegoat you out of your problems. See, that's not what he's here for, right? He has the most valuable, I consider, the most valuable asset in all of pro sports, meaning a bona fide stud at quarterback on a rookie contract. To me, it doesn't get much better than that. That, to me, is what it is about. And just because he's on the rookie deal, just because, you know, he can play, doesn't mean that you should shortchange your pursuit of an offensive lineman. Doesn't mean you should shortchange yourself in pursuit of a wide receiver. That's not what it's about to me. So I get it, right? We look at Jayden and he's mobile, and he can get outside the pocket, and he can make plays with his feet. That does not mean that you stop trying to address the offensive line. Because if you learned anything about last night, it is won and lost in the trenches in the National Football League. I don't even think it's close. If you were Washington watching last night, you can't run it back next year with Nick Allegretti as your left guard. You can't run it back probably next year with Andrew Wiley as your right tackle. And I know there are the Andrew Wiley truthers out there. I actually was one of them until I woke up and smelled the coffee, so to speak. Andrew Wiley, I don't believe, gave up a sack all year this year. But he's playing with Jayden Daniels as the quarterback, and he's the right tackle. So Jayden sees every pressure that comes from Andrew Wiley. So I'm not so sure. You don't need to upgrade there. But as far as the offensive line goes, my blueprint would be this way. I'm kicking Brandon Coleman, most likely kicking Brandon Coleman inside the guard. I'm re-signing Cornelius Lucas. I'm giving him a real legit opportunity and shot to win the left tackle spot. And then I'm also drafting a rookie tackle. At guard, like I said, I'm kicking Brandon Coleman inside. He'll be my left guard. Nick Allegretti will be my right guard. And that'll be my day one guard tandem, because I think Sam Cosmi more likely than not misses the season opener because of the injury he suffered in the NFC Championship. So you keep Biadasz at center. I'm okay with that. Get him healthy, first and foremost. And then at right tackle, I don't know what we do at right tackle, because I think he's one tackle short. Can you get a rookie? Can you get someone in there substantial enough to where they are an upgrade for you? Because you can't tell me, watching Josh Sweat, watching Brandon Graham, watching Bryce Huff, Nolan Smith, the Eagles, not only do they have a legit front four, but they come at you in waves. See, we're all okay. Everyone talks about upgrading the D-line. It ain't just about getting better starters. You need better depth. Milt Williams isn't a starter for Philadelphia. He's not a part of their starting front four. But Milton Williams gets hella snaps, plays his tail off, and is an impactful pass rusher for that group. You need as many guys as possible. That's why I say it's about Howie Roseman. Every year in the draft, what does Howie do? Find another guy up front to rush the passer. And then when you look at the offensive line part of it for Philly, it's hard to upgrade your O-line. It is. Because via free agency, the good ones don't make it there, and then you got to have legit talent evaluators to hit on dudes in the draft. The D-line for Washington is where I think they should be focused. You have the opportunity to recreate what Philadelphia did. It makes your secondary better. It makes your linebackers better. So I don't know how Washington ultimately goes about it, but the pursuit of talent this offseason, it's all about the big boys that play up front. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Coming up at 8:30, our pal Emory Hunt, NFL analyst for CBS Sports, is going to join the program. We get his thoughts on the Super Bowl. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, does last night change your perception of Pat Mahomes? And do you feel any differently about Washington after watching the Super Bowl? Your call's next. Coming up at 8:30, NFL Insider, CBS Sports HQ. Our guy, Emory Hunt, going to join the program. We'll talk all things Super Bowl 59. We'll ask him about what he thinks the Commanders should do coming up in free agency. We'll also look at the NFL draft with him as well. So a lot coming up with Emory Hunt coming up at about 8:30. Love catching up with him. Catching you up on the Wizards right now here quickly. They actually have retaken the lead after being down 15 in that first quarter. They're up 43-42, 8:37 left to go in the opening half. If you all listen to me on overtime, and I'm dropping dimes for y'all consistently, man. Call me point guard now. Tristan Vukovic, Wizards second-round pick from last year, up in the pros, was out of shape to start the year. He in shape now. In 8 minutes, he's played 8 minutes tonight. That's it. 6-7 from the field, 2-2 from beyond the arc. 2 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and a block. He's got 14 points in 8 minutes. That's crazy. So make sure you keep it, keep your eyes peeled, so to speak, for Tristan Vukovic, man. The young Wizards, they got some pieces. It's just about, to me, getting the right coach in there that's going to get them to compete night in and night out. And the way it looks, Brian Keith may be that guy. 1-800-636-1067. Pat Mahomes looked god-awful yesterday in the Super Bowl. Second worst QBR of his career to this point. Does it change your perception of Pat Mahomes moving forward? And then a two-parter for you on the phones. After watching last night, do you feel any differently about the 2024 Washington Commanders? Whether that's moving forward, whether that's the way the season went, do you feel any different about the Burgundy and gold? Let's go to my guy Vic in Akakee. What's up, Vic?
What's up, Lunel?
How you doing, brother?
I'm good. So I'm going to get right at it. This has not changed my perception of Pat Mahomes, because it didn't change my perception of Peyton Manning when he got smashed by the Seahawks. It didn't change our perception of Peyton Manning when he didn't have a great quarterback night when he won his last Super Bowl with the Broncos. It was what it was. The Seahawks were a better defense than he was a quarterback that day, and he was on his last legs as a quarterback, but his team was very good with the Broncos. Pat Mahomes is still a great quarterback. Vic Fangio is as good as a defensive coordinator as Pat Mahomes is a quarterback. Vic Fangio puts his guys in the right situational positions as a defensive coordinator. He makes the right calls. If you notice, whenever his defensive line is moving, they're moving forward, and they're moving forward with angry hands.
Yeah.
And they're moving forward with explosive feet and leverage, which is what you're taught at the high school level. I love how they implement and display fundamentals fast and physical. If you notice, when people throw interceptions versus them, there are at least three people around the radius of the receiver. And usually when there's an interception, it looks like there's a diving linebacker or a diving safety making a play on the ball. What it is the window is tight. And the window is so tight that if one of those people, the linebacker, the safety, or the corner makes a play on the ball, it looks amazing. But it's not. It's consistency. So I can't take anything from Pat Mahomes. Like I said, I couldn't take anything from Peyton Manning. I just think Vic Fangio's defense is for real. And Howie Roseman is a great general manager.
Elite,
because he puts the pieces in place so that when your defense is put in position to make plays, when you have great mental leaders on defense, when you have not only great athleticism, but guys that understand and can see the game to take away what the offense wants to do with it within the position and situation of football that they're put in, this is when you smother people the way they did yesterday. So I can't take enough from Pat Mahomes. I do think that the Eagles are just a better developed team right now, which is why they won Super Bowl, obviously. I can't really take any away from Jaden because I've seen Jaden rip up this number one defense too. I ain't taking enough away from the Commanders, but I do think we got to get better on the defensive line. We got to get talent. We got to get talent that can make impact plays in the fundamentals of the game and doing things right with their ability from the front seven to the back half of the defense. And I'll say this, and I'm going to make some people mad, but I don't care. On the play when Saquon Barkley scored the 60-yard run, that was a one linebacker set, and they had tight width to the right side of the field. They had two receivers, and then they had a motion back to the field side. At that time, there was only one linebacker, and he was either in the strong A or the weak A gap. He is way across the ocean from where the play side is coming, and our safety, Jeremy Chinn, is 3 yards behind the linebacker.
You got to make the tackle,
for sure. As soon as they got outside zone, Lumiel, you played football. They got to the second level within milliseconds. That's a 6 to 7 yard game. What did Lombardi say? We're going to get a seal here and a seal here, and we're going to run in the alley. They was already in the alley. They was in the back of somebody's home already. And what Joe Witt should have did was say either timeout and said, listen, let's get two linebackers in here, or timeout. We're going to run this. If they give us that look again, we're going to walk Jeremy Chinn down so we can get hat on a hat right now, and you're going to be an outside linebacker and squeeze his outside shoulder, bubble this receiver, corner, you're going to squeeze outside shoulder, bubble this receiver to make him have to bubble this toss so we can get lateral across the field and stop this outside zone play. So what I have a problem with, what bothers me, is even if we get my man from the Browns, even if we get some talent, we got to get a defensive coordinator that not
Vic, I, Vic you lose me every time you begin talking bad about Joe Witt, man. He's dealing with no talent, brother. I don't know how we can't get that across to people. Their defense, the cupboard is bare on defense. They don't have talent. I'm not going to sit here and blame the schematics of the defense as to why things went awry. It's just hard for me to do when I know the lack of talent Washington has. Oh, Wizards up 3, 51-48 with 5:48 left to go in the first half. Victor Wembanyama still doing great things. Corey Kispert getting it going offensively for D.C. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Your thoughts on Super Bowl 59. Does your perception of Pat Mahomes change after his poor performance last night? And do you feel any differently about the Commanders as they were 60 minutes away from playing in the big game yesterday? Your call's next.